All right. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of planning on having a good time tonight. I hope you'll join in. A lot better to enjoy it than endure it. Amen. Open your Bible to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 3 tonight. Chapter 3. We're going to read about 8 verses, starting in about verse 22 of Mark chapter 3. I could have read this same story pretty much in Matthew and Luke, I guess, but I chose Mark for it here. Mark does make one little thing a little bit plainer in the story. It's the same truth, of course. I'm not sure about this thing. I'm going to keep raising it up here. When I look out here, I feel like I'm fading out, but maybe not. Y'all do the best you can up there in the tape room, and whatever happens, it'll be your fault. Amen. All right. I want to talk to you a little bit on the subject tonight, binding the strong man. Binding the strong man. Let's pick it up here in about verse 22 of chapter 3 of Mark. It says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost have never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, He hath an unclean spirit." Now in context, you got to understand the Lord Jesus has healed a man on the Sabbath, healed the withered hand. People have come to him. He's cast out demons. He's healed the sick. And this is pretty much the beginning of his ministry. And an interesting thing here, if you go back to chapter 3, I didn't read it, but the crowd's beginning to follow him now. And you notice if you went to verse 21 of chapter 3, says, "And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him." Who? Jesus. "For they said, He is beside himself." Now, you got to understand something. The crowd was falling. People was getting healed. Demons were crying out. And he was rebuking them and telling them, don't let people know who I am. And his friends come to rescue him. He'd gone crazy. That's what they thought. And in fact, if you move on down in the chapter and move on down to about to verse 31, "There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him." Somebody went to get mother. Did you ever have mother called on you? Kind of embarrassing that you get to be a teenager. I won't tell any stories about that, but I'll tell you what, nothing in the world embarrasses a teenager any more than for mother to get him by the ear and pull him out of the crowd. Amen. That's what they were doing. The relatives, the friends, were coming to rescue him from himself. They didn't understand. And then the religious crowd came, the scribes. And they said, "We know what it is. What he's doing here is doing by the power of the devil, by Beelzebub." Now, if you notice, far as the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost goes, you need to understand something. It is rarely done, but it was done in the Bible. And it was done by the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious crowd. Why? Because they said he's doing it by the prince of the devils. He's doing it by Beelzebub. And Beelzebub was the unclean spirit. Said because they said he had an unclean spirit. Now, plain old ordinary profanity is not blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I don't recommend you do it. But I'm telling you, that's not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. A lot of folks think they've committed it, but they haven't. One reason I know they haven't is because they have a conviction about it. But also, the truth is, very few people will do what the Pharisees and the scribes did in ascribing to Jesus his power coming from the devil, from Beelzebub, an unclean spirit. Because the Beelzebub was the god of the flies. If you go back to Egypt when they had the plagues and you had all the flies come, Beelzebub is a dirty spirit, brother. I mean a filth. And you folks that don't think a house fly is dirty, look at him under a microscope. He's dirty. In fact, he wears on his snout the same thing you put in the commode to unclog it. That's exactly what it looks like. Really. But it's got that suction cup has a hole in it. Now, I'll keep you from raiding the fridge tonight when you get home. If you'll understand what a fly does when he lights on your food. He lights on the food, he sticks that plunger down there, but before he pulls the food up, he regurgitates on it. Do you understand what that word means? Do you? He throws up something on it and it mixes the food, begins to start the digestion on the food. Then he sucks up what he wants of it and leaves the rest of it for you. That's it. And so when they accuse Jesus of having an unclean spirit, they're talking about the spirit of Beelzebub. And Jesus said this is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost because he was healing people by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he was doing. And so I want you to just get that setting just a little bit. And I want to say this. They were charging him with that, and they were hunting somewhere to put the blame, so they put it on the devil. I talked to the college a little bit this week about making excuses and finding somebody to blame, all that. That blame game, we all play it sometime, don't we? Feels better for somebody else to be at fault, amen? Now, sometimes it's honestly so, like the tape room here, but now I'm joking with them a little bit. But most of the time, we're making an excuse when we find somebody to put the blame on. It started in the Garden of Eden. Of course, Adam said, Lord, it's that woman you made me. And Eve said, the serpent done it, and the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on, amen? He couldn't pass it on. But with all that said, we all got a lot of that in us. Amen. Now, I want you to deal with a principle here that's in the story. The strong man in the story, Jesus is saying that I couldn't spoil Satan's house without binding the strong man. I've got power over the devil. But I want to flip-flop that a little bit for illustration's sake tonight. And I want to say it this way. That's a principle that's involved in many other ways. How many of you ever read... I don't know what fable or fantasy or what fairy tale. Gulliver's Travels. Anybody ever read that deep book? Read about Gulliver? Best I remember, Gulliver was a pretty good sized fella, and he went to sleep. And some little people come out and begin to put their threads around him. And when he finally woke up, he was tied down. Is that pretty accurate? The best story in the Bible about it is Judges chapter 16, where you have Samson. Remember Samson? I'm telling you, Samson judged Israel for 20 years. He was a son of God. He could have done a lot better job, but young man, he got his eye on the wrong woman. And you know the story. I mean, he got the most expensive haircut that was ever given, amen? I'm telling you that Samson got in trouble. You know how it was. The Philistines came to Delilah, and they said, we'll give you a bunch of money if you can find out what the secret of his strength is, because he was strong. They couldn't conquer Israel. The Philistines couldn't because of Samson. One time they backed him into a corner. He got in the crevice of a rock, picked up the jawbone of an ass, and slew 1,000 men with it. Man, they couldn't handle Samson. So they wanted to bind him. He was the strong man. They wanted to bind him, didn't they? And so they begin to plot with Delilah, and she tried tricks, and Samson sort of sported with her. And he said, well, you know, you get five green branches or whatever, vines, and tie me. And she did that, and she hollered, Samson, the Philistines are on you. He just shook himself and broke them. And like a woman, she kept nagging, amen. Sorry, ladies, but she was a woman.
And she nagged and nagged and nagged. You remember the story. Finally, he said, well, you get some green ropes and put on them. And she tried that, and she said, Samson, the Philistines are on you. And boy, he broke all the ropes. Oh, she pouted and she nagged. Kept on doing that till, by the way, Bible says it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a wide house with a nagging woman. Oh, that's a new version, brawling woman. King James says brawling. I sweetened it up a little bit with nagging. Nagging is necessarily with your tongue. Brawling might be with something else, hadn't it? Amen. But anyway, Delilah kept on till Samson finally let out the secret, right? And he got the haircut, and then she said, the Philistines are on you, and they had him also bound again, but this time he couldn't shake the ropes. He went to sleep, and he got all tied up. I mean, he let it happen to him. The strong man was bound. Now, there's a principle there that I'd like for us to see. I want to say to you today that principle applies in a lot of areas. I just pulled out of my pocket a spool. Boy, you folks that missed Sunday night, I tell you, I pulled out of my pocket a spool of sewing thread. You said you asked permission. No, I didn't. I find it's often better and easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. So I didn't ask. But I went into the sewing room and got me a spool of thread, Brother Gary. I'm going to need some help here. I need a really big man. Craig, come up here. I look out there and he's head and shoulders above everybody else. Amen. Craig, come up here. I hope you'll be a good sport about this. And if you don't mind, I'm going to let you sit here on the steps so they can see you from this side. And I want you to cooperate with me. Now, Craig didn't know I was going to call him. You can hear his heart beating all the way out there. I'm joking. Put up your hands like I'm going to tie you. Okay, I'm wrapping the one thread. Well, it's almost two. You folks in radio land, Craig's a good-sized guy. He's probably, what, 6'4", 5"? 6'4 and a half, amen. Go ahead and see if you can break that thread. Oh, look how easy he broke that. You see that? Uh-huh. Now, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:12 that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. One, two, three. Now, remember what the verse says. Verse says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Didn't say it couldn't be broken. See if you can break it, Greg. Well, he did it, but it wasn't as easy as the first one, was it? All right. I want you to just sit there a minute. I want to do something. That's all right. I'm not going to do anything mean to him now. I want to preach a little bit, and I'm going to come back to him. Now, if he does like Samson, he might get a little sleepy over there. If he does, I'm going to wrap some cords on him. You understand what happened with Gulliver? He went to sleep. And those little people come out with small threads, but they just kept putting another one on, and another one on, and another one on. Now, Craig, can you fake a little sleep for me here? Just kind of relax. He said he didn't have to fake it. All right, I'm going to just set this down right here. And don't try to break it. You're dozing off right now a little bit. Now, I want you to understand something, folks. The strong man dozes off. He wakes up bound. That's the point. You get it? Binding the strong man. I want to say to you, in America, we are getting one layer of cord after another wrapped on us while we doze. That's what's going on. I mean, in our beginning, the strong man in America was our faith in God, was our godly heritage, was the Word of God, was prayer, was decent living. And what's happening to all that is folks are sleeping and the cords are being put on. That's what's going on. God's word, the Bible. George Washington said, our first president said, you cannot enslave a Bible reading people. But you know what? In the courts, lawyers used to take this Bible to plead their cases in court. Still today, we are sworn in on the word of God. By the way, they're going to stop that. You watch. I mean, they can't stand in God we trust on our coins. But what's happening is they are binding America while we sleep. They're continuing to wrap another cord and wrap another cord and another cord around us. They're taking the Bible a long time ago out of the classrooms, prayer out of the classrooms. We recognize that. And what's happening is one string at a time, we're being bound up. And for instance, the string of losing our freedom. That's what's going on today. Just keep on, one thing after another takes our freedom away. Everywhere we look, we can't have the freedom of speech. You folks are getting used to the radio station. You better pray for it, because they have got a movement afoot right now to stop stations like us, stop people like Sean Hannity and O'Reilly and Glenn Beck and all those guys. And don't kid yourself, if they stop them, we'll certainly go down the tubes. And it's a lot closer than you think. I've got something stuck in my Bible right here. Here it is, I believe it is. The chief diversity officer at the Federal Communication Commission, FCC, has begun talking about $250 million in fines to be levied against conservative stations. With the fines paid, now get this, gonna take the money they would fine a station like us and pay it to the National Public Radio. Now let me translate that. Take it from the conservatives, give it to the liberals. That's exactly what that means. And they're not gonna do it through the fairness doctrine, because everybody's aware of that, and President Reagan brought attention to that and killed that when he was in office. But now it's being called localism and diversity. So we're not local enough, we're not diverse enough, we're not pluralistic enough, so you get fined for that. Because your programming does not represent the whole community, meaning the liberals. And so you get fined, and they take the money and they transfer it over. You say, they can't do that, this is America. But America's asleep. And the cords are being wrapped around us as we go. Now, you can just keep on adding some of the thoughts on that. Freedom of speech. Over the airwaves. I got another thing. Well, I'm not even pull those out for time's sake. The liberals, and in fact, the new administration, came out with a warning that the terrorist danger was from the conservatives and from the veterans returning, and we're the new terrorist group. Now, there was enough pressure put on Congress by the common people when that was spoken, and when the thing come out, that they had to retract it and say, well, it was poorly written. They're writing a bunch of poorly written stuff. And all it is adding another cord, as it takes away our freedom. Freedom of speech. Brother, when you lose that, it's not long you're going to lose all the rest of the rights. Because you see, it's the freedom of speech that gives us the protection to expose the evil that's going on. That's where it comes in. And that's what they've got to stop. The extremist is us now. We're the right wingers. We're the ones that's hurting the country. And as you've seen, and it's in the news right now, one of the moves in the country on the freedom of speech is also, it moves into the freedom of thought. And the thought police are busy, and the next plan in America that's in the news this week is indoctrinate the schoolrooms. Now, every totalitarian government that you've ever seen, every dictatorship, was smart enough to go down and start working with the kids. Did you ever see the documentaries on Hitler and the Hitler's youth? Did you ever see that? Did you ever hear the Red Guard in China and other communist places? Where they work with the kids. I mean, what they do
is they brainwash the kids. So everybody said, well, it's silly to fuss about the president speaking to the school kids. No, I want to say to you, the lesson plans that goes along with him speaking on this coming Tuesday is nothing more than propaganda. And when you say to little kids like these that we got in our church, write a letter to yourself how you can help the president out with his goals. That's brainwashing. That's indoctrination. That's what happened in the communist countries, Cuba, China, you name it. And it amazes me how we sleep as the cords continue to be put on. I mean, you think about what's going on right now, and you can see everywhere you look that another cord is going around, and another cord is going around, and another one, and another one, and another one. Sewing thread is pretty strong if you get enough of it. Before I was 4 years old, I found that out. I stole Mama's spool. This is not the first spool I ever stole. And I went out before I was 4 years old, and I wrapped them together to make what I had seen Daddy use with the mules, which was plow lines. And I hooked my billy goat up to the baby carriage. So help me God, I'm not stretching that a bit. I rolled sewing thread together, whole spool of it. I tied him, I got in the cage, and the rascal got in on top of me. He was like a pet dog. It's truth, young goat. He literally got in the carriage on top of me. I couldn't get him out. His name was Billy, of course. I called him some other names in my childish way. But I couldn't get him out of the cage. Carriage, rather. You know what I finally done? Like any kid in the nursery would do, you push him far enough, he'll bite you. I bit that goat right in the side. So help me God, that's the only goat I ever tasted in my life. Down in Mexico, they wanted to feed me goat. I said, no way, I done had some. I remember the goat hair to this day. I like to never got it out of my mouth. But I'll tell you what, he got out. He got out. It worked. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. I remember that sewing thread. When Mother come out there, I had it wrapped together everywhere. I never did get to test it because he wouldn't pull for me. But I tell you what's happening in America right now. We're getting wrapped up, folks, one little thread at a time. This don't matter, just a little thing, preacher. Don't get excited about that. Just a little thing, just another thread. That's all it takes. That's exactly what's going on, folks. In the classroom this Tuesday, the president's speech will be watered down. I don't know what it intended to be. They claim they're going to pull out the lesson plans and reword them. But I want to say, and there's some public school teachers listening to me, there's some in this building, and thank God for you that are Christians, but wait a minute. The National Education Association is not for America. That's the most liberal bunch you've ever seen. I'm sorry you have to pay dues to it. But what they're doing is putting more thread around us all the time. They're binding what the old America used to be. They're wrapping us up. And that's just one group that's in the pocket of the ultra-liberal left that is literally against America and what all America stands for. And you say, preacher, I don't like that. Then go to a church where you won't hear it. Bless God, the door lets you out that lets you in. Amen? It's too late. We're too far down the creek for somebody not to get up on their hind legs and holler about some of this stuff. Amen? I mean, it's way too far to sit around. We're letting the same thing, and it shocks me that how history repeats itself. It happened in Germany. It happened in China. It's happened in those communist countries. We know it did. We watched it. We fussed about it. We heard J. Edgar Hoover talk about it, and scenes that took place in the classroom where the teacher said, you believe in God? And some of the kids shyly said, yes. Well, then bow your heads and pray to God for a candy bar. And the kids did. And now lift your head. Do you have a candy bar? No. will thou bow your head again and pray to linen for a candy bar? And the kids did, and the teacher went around and put a candy bar on the desk. That's brainwashing propaganda I'm talking about. That happened. Happened in a lot of places. That's the kind of junk that's going on right now in America. And what's being taught in the classroom today is pluralistic religion. The textbooks, folks, the textbooks that they're using, they're downplaying our holidays, our patriotic days. Even in Washington, D.C., until they had so many complaints recently, they took the patriotic music off the phone. If you called your congressman, normally for years and years, you would hear, you'd call Washington, it was normal to expect, and you heard patriotic music over the phone while you was waiting. But they took it off. They put some kind of junk on it. And there's been enough complaints, I understand they're going back to it. Praise God, there's some folks beginning to wake our sleep just a little bit. But we're getting one cord after another wrapped around us. Now, using our kids against us. Go with me in Mark, if you would. Go over to chapter 13. I've shown you this before, I'm sure. Mark chapter 13. I want to show you what I'm preaching tonight is a fulfillment of prediction that Jesus made. Mark chapter 13. Oh, pick it up, verse 12. It says, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. Now watch the next statement. And children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now that's future. Much of it has gone on, but has not yet reached the zenith, the peak that it's going to reach. Now understand, do you know right today, and I've seen it happen right here locally, if a child makes an accusation, an adult's in trouble. And in more than one case, I have seen kids see enough on TV, hear enough to falsely accuse parents to the place I've seen them in jail, I've visited them in jail. Now, I'm not against child abuse, and I do understand sometimes it is the truth, but I know of some cases. John Bunch is sitting back there. He and I can tell you about a case that we worked on all the way up to the governor's office where the man was innocent, but a little 13-year-old girl accused her daddy because daddy wouldn't let her be with her boyfriend. Fact. Justice is supposed to be fair. And you're supposed to be innocent till proven guilty. But in that case, you're not. You're guilty till proven innocent. That's backwards. But that's the stuff we've got going on. And what we're doing with our strong man is we're just continuing to wrap another cord and another cord as he's kind of dozing off here just a little bit, and another cord and another cord and another cord. He don't know he's in trouble yet. When in the world are we going to wake up that we're in trouble? I don't think we have. You say, preacher, what can we do? Well, I tell you what should have been done. We should have done what Craig did at first, broke the first cord. It was breakable then. And even the second cord. And with great effort, the third cord. But we have waited a long time now, a long time, and it's still happening. It's still happening. Our textbooks are telling our kids that Islam is a fine religion. It is actually in some of the textbooks saying it is before and better than Christianity. Christianity is being downplayed. Jesus is being called a Palestinian in the textbooks. Thanksgiving is no longer the Thanksgiving you think of with the Pilgrims and Plymouth Rock and all that business. Thanksgiving is when they needed some water at the border in Texas and they finally got some and they had a Thanksgiving prayer over it. Two Thanksgivings.
junk, to deny the patriotism, to deny the history and the heritage of this great country that was founded on God. That's what I'm talking to you about tonight. And another string being added, another string, Sharia law. I wish you could see, and some of you folks do see it, somebody passed some of this stuff on to me. Here's pictures right here. Here's the Christian Action Network. The man went over into Europe. He made a bunch of these pictures. Do you understand that Islam has just about taken Europe? I've said it over and over to you. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm trying to wake folks up. Do you understand there in some of the streets they can actually go out at prayer time and the men, the Muslims, get on the street and pray and stop the traffic. And if a woman walks by the street while all this large group of men is praying, they'll grab her and beat her. Where's the police? They're afraid to mess with them. And right here in America, that stuff is coming. Christianity is almost dead in Europe. This world abhors a vacuum. If Christianity draws back, false religion's going to come in. Always does. People in Europe are fearful to speak out because the Muslims may kill them. I've got right here, sticking right here. Let me read you this. This just happened not long ago in Somalia. A Christian Offridge workers beheaded. Four Christian aid workers kidnapped by Muslim in Somalia have been beheaded. They were called apostates. They were told they could save their life by turning to Islam. They refused to, and they were beheaded. You say, oh, that's just the preacher preaching about a booger behind every tree. Yeah, but I've been behind the tree. I know what I'm talking about. What has happened in England, France, Spain, much of Europe, is happening in America. I'm reading this same paper right here. It says it may astound you to know, but in England, only 38% of the people believe there is a God. Any God. In France, the number's down to 34%. So I'm going to tell you something. When you back out on the Lord God Jehovah, you're going to be at the mercy of the false gods the devil sets up. And that's exactly what's happening in our society today in America. Now you know what? Sharia law is being debated. This fellow that just resigned, the so-called Green Czar, Van Jones, in the news today about resigning. Communists signed a petition saying that he believed that our American government brought our towers down. That's right. And he gets appointed as a czar. Now, he resigned. There's about 30 more of them that needs to resign. And about half of them ought to go to jail. You and I would if we didn't pay our taxes. Amen. Talking the truth here. Now, I'm glad he resigned. But look what it took. At least we had enough freedom of speech to expose them. When it gets to where it's illegal to expose that kind of stuff, then how about that? And we're fast moving that way. Now I want to say to America, like Samson, he rose up, he broke the ropes, he shook himself, he's ready to fight the Philistines. He did that once. He did that twice. He done that three times. I believe about three times. Maybe it was about the fourth time he got his hair cut. I don't remember, but somewhere in that neighborhood. I want to say to you, America has risen up and shaken itself before. We've nodded off a few times before. We came back. We woke up. We shook ourselves. I don't know, folks, that we can do it again. We may have too many cords on us this time. Say, well, why? Well, let me give you one cord that's a big one. I mean a big one. One of the reasons we can't rise up and break the ropes and shake ourselves is because of this one I'm talking about right here. It's called being in debt. Being in debt. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs? It says the borrower is subject to the lender. You know what that means? That means the fellow that you owe money to's got some control over you. By the way, who does America owe money to? Do you ever look on the bottom of that package you bought in the store? Made in China? Huh? I'm saying something to you tonight that's very real. You know why they let the Lockerbie bomber go back home? Because of oil deal with England. That's it. You understand some things you can't understand always has a dollar behind them? That's exactly right. And you know what's happening in America now? Some things you can't understand is because somebody else is already holding the mortgage on us. And the borrower is subject to the lender, the Bible says. And that's very, very real in our society right now. I want to say to you that the strong man in America has been bound. Even Prater, the newspaper in Moscow, is kind of laughing at us, saying, don't you know we were down that road and we started coming back and now you're going down, you're being foolish, you're going the same way, the socialism, communism, at the end of it, dictatorship. Right. I want to also say this. While we can jump on, and rightfully so, the government and say all this that I've said, let me say as a church, we better be careful or we'll get bound. Churches are bound in America like they've never been before. They're all tied up. They've sold out. They've compromised. Obama, the president, called 1,000 ministers the other day to get support for his health care package. I want to just about guarantee you, first place, he knew who he called. And the second place, I'll just about guarantee you they all sold out. For instance, Rick Warren. Rick Warren, with his 40 days on purpose, spoke the other day at the Muslim convention. Isn't that wonderful? They didn't invite me. I named some other preachers they didn't invite. They knew who they invited. He got up and told them that America shouldn't only tolerate them, but respect them. The president got up at the Muslim convention here in America and praised them for being a good religion of progress. Yeah, here in America. Folks, I've said it before, it wasn't Baptists that flew the planes into the towers. It wasn't Methodists. It was Muslims. And they're still the ones that's trying to do in our nation today and continuing to wrap us up in cords. And the church is compromising with sin. You see, the attitude today with the church is we want to be a mega church. I guarantee you're not going to find many mega churches preaching out of the King James Bible. You're not going to find them saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You're not going to find them condemning homosexuality. No, sir. They've grown above that. They're intellectual. And that's what's being sold out in the churches today. So folks that think they're intellectual, Dr. Drydust and Stinky Hyde in the seminaries, got a better idea than God. We're going to give you a new Bible. God's used this one for 400 years, but he must have been wrong all the time. Not hardly. Not hardly. But we see the churches compromising with sin. It's too bad. I want to say to you, the churches are being tied up. I want to say to you, personally, your strong man can also be bound. Say, what my strong man? Let me say this. Let me tell you what your strong man is, young person, older person. Your strong man in your life is this book. Your strong man in your life is your prayer. Your strong man in your life is the clean living Christian life, following clean convictions. Now, you know what? You start losing those, and you're going to be in a pickle. Now, a while ago, when Craig sat down here and we put one cord on him, he broke it. We put even three on him, and with a little more effort, he broke it. But I don't know how many I've wrapped around here now. I'd say that probably it just keeps going. Craig, don't cut your wrist. pull on it just a little bit. Pretty tight. Yeah, we better unwrap you. Don't drip any blood on the carpet. I'm joking with him now, but I appreciate him coming up here to illustrate this. You say, I understood that. He didn't have to. No, you didn't. I had to teach you fundamentals. By the way, y'all pray for me. I don't know if I can get all this thread back on this spool or not. Amen. That's going to take a little doing. Well, I unwrapped quite a bit, but you're still pretty well tied up, aren't you, Craig? Strong man is still bound. I'm still unwrapping him here and unwrapping him here. I tell you what, I'm running out of patience. Had to get my knife out and cut it. So that preacher carries a pocket knife. That's not all I carry. Don't mess with me, brother. What was it? Tennessee Arnie Ford said, if the left one don't get you, the right one will. I'm playing around. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it. Amen. And if one of them don't get you, there's something I got somewhere else that'll get you. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. The way you stay out of being bound is when you fill the first cord. Young person, the first beer, the first cigarette, the first place you ought not be. You can break that one, but just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep getting wrapped up. And all you strong men will be bound. And there'll be a day come, you can't break it no matter how bad you want to. You'll be trapped. I fear our country's trapped. I fear many of our churches are trapped. I fear many individuals are trapped. But I want to say to you, you have a strong man in the Word of God. You have a strong man if you're saved, if you're born again, like the choir was singing up here tonight. I want to say to you, you don't have to sit still and go to sleep and be all tied up by the devil. You don't have to. And a sermon like this ought to give you warning. I hope, just for the little illustration of the thread, that you'll recognize a thread when you see one. Amen? Well, just a little bit. No. One, two. By the time you get three, it's going to be hard to get away. When it gets to be four and five and six and a dozen and 20, you'll never get away. You're trapped. You're trapped. You'll never get away. I challenge you tonight, and I guess this would be my invitation to you tonight. Got any cords you need to break? Do you recognize you got one or two on you now? Then now's the time to break them. Not later. Not when they pile up. Not when the strings become a rope that you can't break. Jesus gave us a principle. The principle works both ways. Jesus said, I couldn't have done what I did unless I had power with a strong man, the devil. At the same time, if a thief comes to your house, he wants to bind the strong man, get him out of the way before he breaks in to spoil your goods. And the devil is wise to that. And I challenge you tonight, you don't have to sit there and be all tied up by him. Break it when you can. Tonight, maybe the Holy Spirit of God has shown you something you could break tonight. You may not be able, you may be within one cord of not being able to break it by next week or the next. Now's the time to stop it. I pray you will. Let's stand, please.